Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Happy Friday, St. Louis. It's a Chamber of Commerce day out there here in St. Louis. And well, it's just Michael Kelly. But joining me on the phone line is the ever-vacationing John Hancock. Mr. Hancock, top of the morning to you, sir.
Hello, big boy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your evening last night? I hadn't heard from you yet this morning, so I assumed you probably had a nice one.
We had a lovely evening down here in Jupiter, Florida, checking out the Cardinals.
Yeah, tell me about it. Did you go over and check out the new facilities? There's a lot of construction happening down there, and it seems as though there's a complete overhaul of the ballpark, probably since the last time you were down there.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how much they've done. And, I'm mildly optimistic about this team.
Well, you seem to be that way every year when the season starts, and that's the best part about baseball, right? We all get to start with a fresh slate, and we'll see what happens. John, I must confess, listening to the games, I may know one or two of the players' names, but most of the players that we have now are a youthful team that has been put together, and I think we all expect a rebuilding year, but did anybody stand out to you?
Well, Dustin May got the start yesterday against Pittsburgh, and he hit 99, and that's exciting. Now, we're going to probably trade him at the deadline, but that was very encouraging. J.J. Weatherholtz hitting the ball very well. He's got over 1,000 OPS. And, they're going to be entertaining and fun to watch.
Okay. Well, I happen to know where you're staying, which is literally less than a block from the stadium. You're down at my house, and you went over to the game the other day. And folks, when I tell you, you can almost fall out of my window in my place into the ballpark. And I get a call from John Hancock who says, man, went to the game, had a great time. And would you believe that both my son and I got lost for 30 minutes getting home? John, how is that even possible? We all know you're directionally challenged, but are you blind as well? Because the stadium and the condo are literally 100 yards from each other.
Well, you got to remember, the stadium is curved.
Okay.
So when you go out a different exit than the entrance you came in, you get a little, disoriented. So, we came out and turned right, and before I knew it, I was at Florida Atlantic University.
Well, there you go.
But it wasn't 30 minutes. It was maybe 15, maybe 20.
One other quick question before we move on to the substantive topics of the day. How's the vibe down there?
Yeah.
Cardinal fans have kind of shown their displeasure over the last couple of years here in St. Louis. Spring training is kind of a rite of passage for a lot of people. They make it an annual trip, or it's a lifetime trip they get down there. Is the ballpark full of Cardinal fans? Does there seem to be a vibe of excitement?
Well, I'll have a better sense of that on Saturday. So on Wednesday, we played Team Nicaragua. And I would say there was maybe 2,600 fans there. The stadium holds, 6,000? So, but that may have been because it was Team Nicaragua and not, generally. But, the place is full. People are,
perfect.
Milling around. The restaurants are full. So I think the fans are out in pretty good force.
All right, brother. Well, put your thinking cap on because we've got to talk about the issues of the day. You remember Donald Trump told us, I only pick the best people. Well, one of those best people got canned yesterday. Kristi Noem, the controversial head of DHS, spent over $200 million on an ad campaign that Senator Kennedy from Louisiana, Republican, said was nothing more than a vanity project. This on top of what we witnessed in Minneapolis with two Americans being killed by DHS. Are you surprised by the move from this administration to finally terminate Kristi Noem? this week from Donald Trump. Now, he's given her a soft landing, but there's no doubt about it. He's throwing her out on her rear.
Yeah, not surprised. Mildly surprised that it took that to remove her from office. But, you know, at the end of the day, Donald Trump is very focused on Donald Trump. So I think the fact that she sort of implicated him into this scandal probably was the final straw, and she had to go. Mark Wayne Mullen, the irony here is that I have worked for both Kristi Noem and Mark Wayne Mullen. He's an interesting choice here.
Well, and to that point, that announcement got yesterday seemed as though he was surprised that he was named as well.
He was.
Obviously, Oklahoma, a Republican state, a Republican governor, they will appoint somebody to replace him. No question that the Republicans will hold on to that seat. But this may not be a slam dunk getting through the United States Senate. Senator Mullins has insulted Rand Paul, called him a snake in the past. Of course, you have the Democrats fired up over wanting to change the direction of the DHS. Obviously, a very important cabinet member. Do you think this will be a long, protracted fight, or will the president get his nominee rather relatively easy?
Yeah, so history would tell you that when a senator goes through confirmation, I don't think any senator ever, well, no, I can think of one, John Tower from Texas back when Ronald Reagan nominated him for defense secretary. He didn't get rejected, but he withdrew. But other than that, you know, senators almost always get confirmed for any whatever they're nominated for. So I think, and I think Mullen generally is pretty well liked in the body. You mentioned Rand Paul, and that could be an issue, but I suspect he's going to get confirmed. But I do think that confirmation process, they're going to talk a lot about the policies of Homeland Security as it relates to ICE and the Border Patrol. So it's going to be interesting, but I think he'll get confirmed.
Yeah, and to your point about senators getting confirmed by other senators, Marco Rubio, kind of the slam dunk appointee of Donald Trump, got sailed right through the Senate's confirmation process. I was kind of surprised he didn't get named to be the head of DHS, too, because Donald Trump seems to put Marco Rubio, maybe the most competent person he has in his administration, in several important jobs.
Yeah, he's already got, what, three?
Yep.
Three roles? Yeah, he's probably tied up.
Yeah, one would think so. Hey, we'll step aside, take a quick break. Back with Hancock and Kelly on the Mighty Mighty Mox right here on 104.1. And welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show. Hancock is in Jupiter, Florida, getting ready to go see our birds play again. Tomorrow is the next game. Who do they play?
Hold on, I had mute. The Mets, the New York Mets tomorrow.
Oh, the Pond Scum team. Well, that will be exciting, John. Speaking of Pond Scum, we're in the midst of quite a battle over in Iran right now. Of course, we had the attack on Iran. The war continues to roll on. Iran has made the decision to attack, 11 other countries, almost consolidating the allies of the United States who wanted to stay out of this conflict behind us as a result of their lobbing drones and missiles into other countries. Is this a benefit by circumstance that the administration kind of stumbled into, or did you see that one coming?
I did not. Well, I mean, obviously we've got bases in many of those countries, and so the fact that Iran is attacking them is not shocking. But it is a benefit that all of these Middle East countries are, you know, standing by America at this point. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting on the other side of this thing, Michael, to see if there might be kind of a new design in the Middle East with a lot of much more pro-American sentiment. But I think there's a long way to go here. And potentially, you know, I don't know how the U.S. gets out of this thing without putting troops into Iran. And once we do that, if we do that, that's going to be, you know, that's going to be really hard on the country.
Yeah, and any time there's been a conflict in the Middle East that the United States has led or been a part of, it's dragged on for nearly a decade every time that we've done it. Now, Donald Trump ran telling us, I'm done with the endless wars. We're not going to go fight these fights for other folks. And then has immediately, in several instances around the country, around the globe, changed that policy to the detriment of his own politics, which we're seeing happening in his own polling. I'm with you. I don't see this being a tidy and quick operation, and fear that we may be living with the consequences of what he's chosen to do here for maybe several administrations to come.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hope it's not that long. But, you know, I mean, we chose to stand alongside Israel and go in and fight this, and it's a war. And yeah, we're going to, I thought at the outset that maybe it's going to be a few day bombing like we did back in the summer. But, and it looks like we're all in for a long time. And, you know, the price of oil in this country, I think, is going to be determinative about how long this lasts. Because, you know, at some point, you've got to have the military has got to have the want to, and that we've got that. You've got to have political support for a war. We've got that, but it's not solid. But ultimately, the American people have to support the war. And I think if oil prices shoot up, you know, 10, 15, 20%, I think you lose the American people at that point, and that becomes a real political problem for the president.
Well, and the president had promised, I'm going to lower prices on day one. Today, gas prices are higher than they were under Joe Biden. Grocery prices continue to remain high. The political consequences for the president may not be immediate for him, but they are going to be immediate for the Republican Party and their control of both houses in the United States House and Senate, which leads me to the, well, we're a little over 4 months away from an election here in the state of Missouri, where congressional races are on the ballot. Of course, we potentially have the redrawing of the lines that was going to take place as a result of the directive of Donald Trump. That continues to be held up in court. But you have Emanuel Cleaver and Ann Wagner in particular, Emanuel Cleaver, Democrat on the Kansas City side, who was being targeted, as well as Ann Wagner, our St. Louis County and St. Louis area Republican state rep, who our congressional leader, who doesn't really know what lines they're going to run under. How does that look for both of these candidates as we're only 4 months away from an election?
Well, so for Cleaver, if he gets the old lines, he's safe. He's going to win. If he gets the new lines, he's probably going to lose. Well, most likely going to lose. For Wagner, she's probably safe regardless of whether it's the old or the new district. You know, if Ann Wagner gets defeated in November, that's going to portend a massive Democrat wave, like 45, 50 seats. And when you consider the fact that there's only really 27 seats that are considered typically competitive, if the Republicans lose 45 or 50 seats, they're going to lose a lot of seats that are Republican-based, and Wagner's is one of those.
Crystal ball time. I think we both agree that the Democrats will take control of the United States House of Representatives in November of this year. The president's polling rate numbers reaching record lows for any president. That could have consequences for the United States Senate. Texas in particular looks as though it may be in play, as Democrats were fired up this week showing up to get their nominee together. My word, because is there a possibility that there could be a Democratic senator coming from the state of Texas?
Sure. I mean, yeah, it could happen. The Democrats are fortunate that they nominated Tallarico instead of Crockett. I think if Cornyn prevails on the GOP side, he is more likely than not to hold that seat, but that remains to be seen. And the president's going to weigh in on that race at some point, hopefully soon. But there is a chance that the construction of the races this cycle is good for Republicans, but they could lose the Senate. I think it's less than 50% likely.
Yeah, I think that Democrats will take both. Well, that's John Hancock reporting from Jupiter, Florida. Get back to the good sunshine down there and maybe some sleep. Thanks for joining us today.